Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth are with you on this Wednesday morning, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic. Adam, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Rex Road, how's your sciatica?
I don't even know how to respond to that.
Was that not one of the great moments in the history of radio yesterday?
As I was listening, I was like, Skiatika.
Skiatika.
And I was like, huh? And then Porth came in with the sciatica, and I was just like, oh, my God.
Skiatika.
Skiatika.
And then I believe you sent me a text in all caps that just said moron. So
I did.
It's a good day.
And then you were like, who's a moron? And I was like, you're a moron.
Except you spelled it Y-O-U-R, so we're all morons.
Oh,
no,
yes.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
No, I didn't. I would never dare to do that.
Adam, a tough one last night for the Predators. 7-4 loss to Florida. They gave up 55 shots on goal. When you factor in the game last night, also the win on Monday, what did you take away from this two-game set against Florida? What did you learn about this Predators team?
Well, I think what we learned from those two games is what a lot of the skeptics out there had already surmised about this particular Predators team. In the fact that if UC Saros isn't stealing games, they're not going anywhere. We'll look at it game by game. We look at Monday. The Predators went 4-1. The Panthers had 21 slot shots on net, according to my friends at SportLogic, and UC stopped 20 of them, including 8 of 9 from the inner slot, which, of course, is closer to the net. Last night, the Panthers had 27 slot shots on net, and I believe UC stopped 23 of them. So he did as well as he could to keep. I mean, the team was winning at the beginning of the third period. They had no business being in that game. And if not for UC Saros, as John Hines said after the game, you know, it could have been a lot worse. You know, that was as pointed of a post game press conference as I have heard from John Hines since he's been here. And he was telling the truth. I mean, the only player who deserved a better fate last night was UC Saros. And here's the amazing thing. So in 18 starts since March 18th, before last night's game, UC Saros had a 1.71 goals against average. He gave up 6 goals last night, and his goals against average since that date is still under 2. It's 1.93.
Jeez.
I mean, that's how good he's been over the past month and a half. But what I learned last night is, you know, whether it's Florida, whether it's Carolina, whether it's Tampa Bay, if the Predators make the playoffs, if UC Saros does not play like he has for the most part over the past 6 weeks, this Predators team stands no chance.
Okay, so even I'll play devil's advocate on that, even if I don't necessarily believe my devil's advocacy. So even with Forsberg back, even let's say you get Fabbro and Carrier back and they play well, and all of a sudden your defense corps is revamped. Even if you know, these guys can play like they've played pretty consistently, although it was to me like a complete departure last night. Like you don't think there's any chance they could be competitive outside of Saros standing on his head?
Well, I guess it depends on what you mean by competitive. Like, could the Predators win a game, maybe two, in a series against those teams? Sure, but I think when I look at those three teams versus the Predators, and let's use the Panthers because they're at front of mind, you know, the discrepancy in the forward talent between the Predators and those three teams is vast. I mean, think about the players that the Panthers have out there, even without Patrick Hornquist, even without Connor Verhaeghe, you know, even without Nola Chari, they still have Jonathan Huberdeau, who, by the way, had his second 5-point game against the Predators this season last night. They still have Alexander Barkov. They still have Sam Bennett, who's been great for them since coming over from Calgary at the trade deadline. They still have Frank Petrano. And if you go to the other teams, I mean, you have Sebastian Aho, Andrei Svechnikov, Steven Stamkos, Nikita Kucherov, Braden Point, Anthony Cirelli. Like, the Predator, look, I think it's been a great story. Players like Tanner Jeannot and Yakov Trenin, and to see players like Eric Hollis step up and Ellie Tolvanen. But the Predators forward core And we, I think we saw this last year too in the bubble against Arizona. You know, the Predators were the better team analytically, but they did not have the type of players who could finish on a regular basis. The other three teams do. And that's why, if not for Saros, I just don't think the Predators, I think the Predators could maybe make it a 5 or 6 game series against one of those three teams, but I don't expect much more than that.
Adam Vinyan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, that sets the table for a massive game coming up on Saturday for the Preds against the Stars. And I get it. There'll still be games to play to be played after that. You've got Columbus coming up, Carolina twice to end the season, Dallas with a tough stretch as well. But in your mind, is it as simple as the winner of this game on Saturday is going to be the team that ends up in the playoffs, in your opinion?
I do. And I can say pretty definitively, and Rex Rhodes has been here a year less than I have, but in my 6 years here, and Robbie, you can tell me if I'm being ridiculous here, this is, to me, the most important regular season game the Predators have played in 6 years. You know, since I have covered this team, which is since March of 2015, this is the biggest regular season game the Predators have played in my time here. You know, you argue with that. Rex Rhodes been here a little less than I have, but I think he might agree with me there. So let me turn to, am I wrong in saying that based on what we've seen over the past 6 years? Is this the biggest regular season game in that time?
I think it is. I mean, it's certainly up there. Like, I'm sure that I'm probably forgetting like a Predators Winnipeg regular season game in 2018 or something like that, but.
Yeah, you know, there was the division stakes, winner at the end of 19, but you know.
I think this is, yeah, with everything factored in there.
Yeah, exactly. Like the fate of this Predators team, you know, hangs in the balance of that game, and because if they win, they're in the driver's seat. I mean, it doesn't mean they're going to make the playoffs, but I think it's, you know, I think it's more than likely that the winner of that game does so. You know, I think it's advantageous that they have 3 days without games to prepare and practice and rest. But yeah, I mean, it's like we've learned a lot about this Predators team over the past 6 weeks. But I think the final exam is Saturday against Dallas.
I mean, there was the game at the end of 2017 when they absolutely had to win so they could avoid the Blackhawks.
That's
a
true.
Team that was about to just sweep them out of the playoffs.
But you know what? So. I was actually not upset about the outcome of that game.
No, you weren't.
That meant that the Predators didn't have to cross over the Pacific Division again, and I didn't have to fly to and from California 18 times in a month, which is completely selfish.
May or may not have been a fist bump involved.
When Blake Wheeler scored that shorthanded goal with like 45 seconds left, I was not upset. Let's just put it that
way. It's all about us, you know?
Right.
It's about our
it's
comfort
about
here.
Us.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah,
so.
Exactly.
All right, so what does this mean? I mean, if the Preds, if they have no hope anyway, what does this mean to make the playoffs?
What does it mean to that? I mean, that's a very good question, because if, like, when David Poile did what he did at the trade deadline, like, I think it sort of created a line in the sand for a lot of fans, like, basically saying, you better be right. Or else. And I mean, I wrote about this, we talked about this at length. I did not agree with their approach to the trade deadline. Like, to me, in order to validate what they did at the trade deadline, they have to win a round in the playoffs. Just one. I'm not exactly answering your question, but I feel like if they don't make the playoffs after doing what they did, like, it's going to be hard to come back from, I think, for some people. And, you know, I'm having a hard time putting it into words. That's because you asked such a great question.
Hey, how about that? But so, I mean, people are going to be mad at Poile, especially. I mean, the anger at Poile is going to resurface.
Oh, absolutely. And it may be greater than it's ever been, to be honest with you. I mean, if you thought it was bad at the beginning of the season, wait till you see what happens if they miss the playoffs.
Adam Vinyan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. All right, so Adam, I mean, Saros obviously has been the story here for the Predators, and he's been great. You laid out the numbers against Florida. Do you think he can keep this up over the next five games here? And how important now, based on what we've seen the last couple of games, do you think these 3 days off could be for the team as a whole? They've not had a lot of time off at all lately. How big do you think having these 3 days can be for this group?
I think it could be very big, and I imagine they'll practice at least once in these 3 days. I can't remember the last time the team practiced, to be honest with you. And that's, you know, because they want to conserve energy. But that's very important. And, you know, perhaps the 3 days of rest made it easier for John Hines to go with UC Saros in the second game of a back-to-back. You know, we can debate all day, and I'm sure you already have, whether it was the right decision to do that. But, I mean, UC Saros has done this for such a, you know, for long enough that I feel like even after last night, I still think he can play well enough to get this team into the playoffs. So having 3 days off to re-energize and then come back for that final push, I think is huge. But I have not lost faith in UC Saros even after last night's game, because I don't think he got any help. I mean, the Panthers scored 7 goals last night. It could have easily been 10 or 11. And yeah. I'm trying not to be prone to hyperbole here, but it could have easily been 10 or 11 if not for UC Saros.
If you're the Preds and you get to pick your first-round opponent, who would you pick?
That's a good one, because I would have picked Florida until last night. But like there is no good answer to that question, because
you have to pick one.
Carolina has your number, and not just this season, but years previous. You know, Tampa Bay, you know, has been struggling relative to expectations lately, but they're still a very good team, defending Stanley Cup champion with a Vezina Trophy winner in net and an MVP coming back for the first game of the playoffs. And you saw last night what the Panthers could do to you. So, I mean, I might still lean towards the Panthers just because of their goaltending. I mean, Bobrovsky gave up 4 goals in 2 periods. But, I mean, man, I don't feel good about saying that at all. I don't feel good about that at all, to be honest.
It's definitely it's a definition of pick your poison for the Predators in the first round should they get there. Adam Vingan from The Athletic has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins us every week here on Wednesdays at 9:30. Adam, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and I got a big one coming up on Saturday.
All right, Rex Road, take care of your sciatica.
That's right.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. Hey, if the Saints trade up to get Caleb Farley, we'd be excited by that.
Speaking of sciatica, everything that you guys have been talking about lately about how he has back injuries, I'm not so sure. I mean, the Saints need help everywhere, to be honest. I guess. I mean, I'm not a huge college football guy, you know that. So, yeah. Like, I've never seen Caleb Farley play. But, you know, I had never seen Alvin Kamara play before he joined the Saints, and he's my favorite.
Worked out pretty well.
Anything can happen.
There you go.
It did work out. Not for your Vols, but for my Saints.
Well, nothing ever does for them. That's a lost cause at this point. Adam Vingan, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. When we come back, we'll react to a little of what Adam had to say there. Also, we've got some Nashville SC tickets to give away as well. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.